All right, if you have your Bibles with you this evening, turn to Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. You know, if you've been going to church, we all know we're supposed to be telling people about Jesus. Amen? Amen. We know we're supposed to be telling people about Jesus. We know we're supposed to be witnessing. We know this. But what does that look like practically? You know, everyday life. You know, it's one thing to know what we're supposed to be doing. It's another thing to actually do it. Know what it looks like. So I want to answer a simple question tonight. What is a witness? What is a witness? And I think I want to be a blessing to you in that way tonight. We're going to be in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse number 13. It says this: Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that these speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Let's pray, will you? Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you that we can know that we can know that we can know that we're saved tonight. Father, thank you for entrusting us with your gospel. You have given it to us to share with others. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't take that responsibility lightly, Lord, but that we would go into this lost and dying world, Lord, to share this life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us not to go in our strength, but in yours. Lord, help us not to just be hearers, but doers of your word tonight. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What is a witness? What is a witness? So hopefully you haven't had to go to court here recently, but we all know what a courtroom looks like, right? You know, usually front and center, there's the judge's bench, and off to the side, there's a place called a something stand. You know what I'm talking about? They call people up, they give a testimony. It's called the something stand. It's called the witness stand, the witness stand. Now, why is someone called to the witness stand? Are they called there because they have a lot of money? No? Okay. Are they called there because they could tell really good stories? Now, if that's the case, we'd be in big trouble, right? A person is called to the witness stand because they've seen something, they've heard something, they know something, right? And they're just called to talk about it. Now, if you're here tonight and you're saved, one, you have heard the gospel because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You cannot get saved unless you hear the gospel. That's why we have to go back to Japan so they can hear the gospel and be saved. But after you hear the gospel, you believe you are saved, then you see the life-transforming power of Jesus Christ in your life. It totally transforms. Where do I get that? Well, the Bible says, wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're not a better form of yourself. You're not an evolved creature. You're not James 2.0. You're an entirely new creature. So one, you've heard the gospel. Two, you've seen the change in your life. You've seen something. You've heard something. Guess what? You qualify as a witness. Now, here in Acts chapter 4, we see Peter and John, they're literally on trial here. Now, I want you to notice with me what this courtroom sees in Peter and John. It says, Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled. Isn't that great? God can use the unlearned and ignorant to get his gospel out. You know, I think a lot of times we're waiting for something else besides salvation to happen to us before we go tell someone about Jesus. Well, Brother James, I don't teach Sunday school. Or Brother James, I haven't been to Bible college, or I'm not a deacon, or I'm not a pastor, and the list goes on and on and on. But guess what? You can be like the blind man. You remember the blind man?
Yeah.
The Pharisees, they come up to him and they start asking. They're the theologians of their day. They come up to him and start asking him all these questions. He says, "Hey man, I don't know much, but let me tell you, I once was blind and now I see." And you know, if you're here tonight and you're saved, you have that same story. You say, "You know what? I once was a filthy, dirty, rotten sinner, but God did a work in my life. I once was lost, but now am found." You have a story to tell. And it's the story of grace in your life. God can use the unlearned and the ignorant to get his gospel out. What are you waiting for? You need nothing else besides your story to get the gospel out. What are you waiting for? But you know, I think a lot of times we're scared of looking unlearned and ignorant. Well, what will people think of me if I tell them about Jesus? What are the whispers that are going to go on behind my back? What are the people going to say? You're going to be perceived as unlearned and ignorant. Are you willing to look unlearned and ignorant for the sake of the gospel? Because here's what the Bible says. The Bible says God chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which believe, it is the power of God." You see, to them that perish, that's your lost friends, your lost family members, those that need to hear the gospel, those that you're going to go and share the gospel with this week, they're going to look at you and say, "You're crazy." You're crazy. Let's think about it for a second, because this gospel story, it's about this man that, well, first it starts with this girl, and she hasn't been with a guy or anything like that, but she gets pregnant, right? And she has a baby boy, and he grows up to be a full-grown man. He's perfect. He never sins. But then the people, they don't like him, so they put him on a cross and they crucify him and he dies. But then 3 days later, he comes back from the dead. Right? I mean, I haven't seen girls like that get pregnant before. You know? I haven't seen guys come back from the dead. But that's the gospel story, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So think about it. You're the crazy person in the room talking about a guy that came back from the dead. That's what we do. That's what we do because we preach Jesus. We preach Jesus, and unless Christ is risen, our faith, our hope, all of this is in vain. It's empty. It's worthless. And us getting together tonight, it's meaningless. But guess what? Jesus is alive, and that's why you and I have a story to tell. But are you willing to look unlearned and ignorant to get this gospel out? Because your lost friends, your lost family members, they're going to think you're crazy. They're going to think you're unlearned. That's not educated. Girls like that don't get pregnant. You know, people don't come back from the dead like that. But that's the truth of the Bible that we have to share with them, that Jesus is alive today. Are you willing to look unlearned and ignorant? But look with me, continuing in verse number 13, Acts chapter 4, it says, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. And look, it says, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They had spent time with him. Now, I have a confession to make, okay? I haven't been hunting or fishing with Jesus lately, right? We can't do that, right? He's ascended to the right hand of the Father. We can't physically spend time with Jesus. But you know what? We can still spend time with him. Right here. Right here. We can spend time with him in his word. We can spend time with him in prayer. But here's a question for you. Are you spending time with Jesus? Because it's one thing to come over here and talk about spending time with Jesus and say amen and shout a little bit. It's another thing to actually go spend time with Jesus. It's one thing to talk about football. It's another thing to go play football, right? Two totally different things. Are you spending time with Jesus? Because here's what Jesus said. John 15:5. He says this, "I am the vine, you're the branches. If any man abide in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." Let me translate that into 2017 English, okay? He says, without me, you can't do squat. That's what he said. That's what he said. Without me, you can't do squat. But you know, somewhere along the way, we figured out what good Christians are supposed to look like. We know we're supposed to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, put on your Sunday best. You know, say amen, shout a little bit. But we're not really spending time with Jesus. And how can we possibly expect to do the work of God without the power of God in our lives? Because at the end of the day, it's not our gospel. It's not. Think about it. For God so loved the world, amen, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, praise God for that, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16 is talking about God. What God has done. What God is doing. Somewhere along the way, we figured out, you know, it's about me. It's my story. It's all about how I became a good person. But it's not. It's about him. So we have to go in his strength. You know, Jesus also said this. He said, when he has come, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You see, the Holy Spirit is already out there convicting people about their sin, about Jesus, all this. God is already at work. We just have to get on board with what God is doing and share the gospel with them. Because the Bible says the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, so that they are without excuse. You see, they know that something's wrong, but they don't know how to fix it unless we get the gospel to them. So are you spending time with Jesus? One, you got to be willing to look unlearned and ignorant, right? You got to be that crazy person in the room talking about a guy that came back from the dead. But then you have to be willing to spend time with the very man you're talking about.
That's right.
Yes. But keep reading with me. In verse 14, it says, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. So in verse 15, they send them outside. And verse 16 and 17, they get in a little huddle and discuss what they're going to do. So in verse 18, they put their plan in action. It says, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. They couldn't deny what had happened. So their grand idea was to tell them, just stop. Stop. You have to realize if you're going to be a witness for Jesus, there will be opposition. The Bible teaches us, yea, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution if you're not in America. That's not what the Bible says. Yea, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution if you're in China or the Middle East. That's not what it says. It says, yea, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's to be expected. Let me tell you something. If you're out telling people about Jesus, devil don't like it. He doesn't. We are at war, folks. We are at war. Are you willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel? Now, here in Acts 4, Peter and John, they've already spent a night in jail. Later on, they're going to get thrown back in jail, and heads are literally going to fly. Persecution is nothing new to Christ and his church. Nothing new. Nothing new. This isn't something we've recently come upon.
No.
But you know, here in America, maybe you haven't gone to jail for your faith. Maybe your head's not going to get cut off. But you will still suffer for the sake of the gospel. It might cost you a friendship. It might cost you a family member. It might cost you a job. Following Jesus, though, is going to cost you something.
Sure.
Because grace is free, but it's not cheap, okay?
Right.
It's not cheap.
Right.
You know, somewhere along the way, though, we figured out there was like a translation error or something like that. And, you know, Jesus said, get on the cruise ship and come follow me. But what did he say? He said, take up your cross daily and come follow me. Let's lift up Jesus. Can we do that for a second? Let's lift him up as our example this evening. We claimed he's our Lord. He's our Savior. Can I use the term leader? We claim to be following Christ. He's our leader. What did they do to our leader? Well, they spat on his face. They plucked out his beard. They put a crown of thorns in his head. They whipped him and tore the flesh off of his back. Then they made him carry a cross out of the city. He was so weak he couldn't carry it himself, so another man carried that cross for him to the top of that hill. Then they nailed him to that cross, publicly humiliating, crucifying, and ultimately killing the Son of God. And we claim to be following that. Oh, I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. Will you follow him to the cross and back? Are you willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel? My dad, he's a first-generation Christian. And when he first got saved, he was so overjoyed that he began sharing the gospel, friends, family. But as he was sharing the gospel, the question was asked, son, what are you going to do about the family altar? The family altar. earlier I told you about the two major religions. When someone passes away, they're cremated, a Buddhist monk comes, but after that, they take a picture of that loved one and put it on a small altar in their home. They'll burn incense to it, and they'll pray to them. And it's always the oldest son's responsibility to carry on that family altar. So as my father was sharing the gospel, he said, "Son, what are you going to do about the family altar?" He said, "Well, that's idol worship. I can't do that. You're not my son anymore. Because yea, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Are you willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel? So first you got to realize we're all just a bunch of unlearned and ignorant people that God saved. And God wants to use every single one of us. We don't have an excuse. God has saved us. We have a story. Are you willing to be that crazy person in the room telling people about Jesus? But then, are you willing to spend time, carve time out of your busy schedule to spend time with the man that saved your soul? Then are you willing to suffer for his name's sake? Look with me in verse 19, though. Love Peter's response. Peter and John. It says, "But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Did you get that? He says, "I'm so sorry, Your Honor. We're just talking about what we saw, what we heard. We're not making this stuff up. That's all we're doing." And then when you tell someone about what God has done in your life, you don't have to make anything up. Why? Because it's what God has actually done. But think about this for a second. Maybe the reason why you struggle with witnessing is because you've never really witnessed anything. Think about that for a second. You're on a Sunday night. Maybe you tell people, "Oh, I believe in Jesus," you know, all this stuff. You look good on the outside, but you've never really trusted in Jesus Christ to save you. You know, what a shame it would be to be talking about missions and camp and all this stuff that God is doing and never really come into a relationship with God himself. Well, what do you have to know? Well, first, you got to realize you're a sinner, okay? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No matter what you've done, what you say, we have all sinned against a holy God. You say, well, we've all lied. We've all stolen something. You say, well, I've never lied. You just proved you're a liar. We've all lied. You say, okay, that's great. What's that mean? I mean, yeah, okay, so we're all messed up a little bit. Well, guess what? The wages of sin is death. What you deserve, what you get for your sin, what I get for my sin is death. And that's not just falling over and going to the funeral home, okay? That's eternal death, separation from God in a place called hell. You say, okay, so I'll go to hell, I'll spend some time there, and I'll just get out, right? I'll just do my time. No. It gets worse. Because in the end, death and hell are cast into the lake of fire will you burn forever and ever and ever. Friend, it just gets worse. You say, well, okay, so I've sinned before, but I've been a pretty good person. Well, let me tell you, if you've ever gotten a speeding ticket, just because you kept the speed limit after you got the ticket doesn't get rid of the ticket you got. It's the same way with sin. If you've sinned against God, just because you're good afterwards doesn't erase any sin that you've done before. You have sinned against God, and the record stands against your name. And because of your sin, you deserve death, eternal separation from God in hell. But guess what? There's a gift. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We deserve death, hell, and punishment for our sin, but God offers you a gift. Well, how do you get this gift? Well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever prayeth a prayer should not perish but have everlasting life. No, that's not what that says. That whosoever putteth money in the plate should not. No, whosoever getteth baptized. No, whosoever hath perfect attendance. No. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so none of you can brag about it. You say, okay, well, I've heard that before. That's good, but not tonight. Well, verse 18 says, if you haven't believed, then you are condemned already because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. tonight is your night. But if you have been saved, then you have a story to tell. Yeah. By quick survey of the room tonight, how many of you remember your grandparents? Grandma and grandpa? Grandma and grandpa? Good, good, good. Great grandparents. Great grandparents? Great 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 grandparents. I think we've got one. One. Going once, going twice. Got two. Two in the room tonight. So most of us don't remember our great-great-grandparents. So encouraging thought for tonight is your great-great-grandchildren aren't going to remember you. But you know, we spend so much time building our own kingdom, building our own name, that in just five generations, all forgotten. Don't know their name, don't know their face, where they were born, what they did. But when you are a witness for Jesus Christ, you build the name above every name. You build the kingdom that will never end. It belongs to a man named Jesus. But every day we must take up the cross and follow him and build his kingdom or our kingdom. But you got to be willing to look unlearned and ignorant. You got to be spending time with Jesus. You got to be willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel. There's probably two or three people in your life right now that God wants you to get the gospel to. Maybe you've been holding back. It's time. It's time. I see some empty pews over here. It's time. They need to get in the house of God and hear the preaching of God's word. God has placed you as a minister of the gospel to them so they can hear the gospel and get saved. Because unless they hear, they can't get saved. Maybe you could ask God tonight what he would have you to do to show someone how they could be saved. Maybe all you could do is, I once was blind, but now I see. But you could have a part in eternity and gain eternal riches. But it's up to you. Will you be a witness for Jesus? Yeah. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done. Thank you that someone came into our lives, came to our families to share the gospel with us. But Lord, help us to be bold in our witness, to go out. But Lord, not forget that it's not about us. It's about you and your gospel and your grace. Lord, help us to enjoy who we are in you and go out rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Lord, help us to go now because you've done a work in our lives. And I pray if there's someone here tonight that isn't saved, who's been playing church but isn't saved, Lord, that they would get saved tonight. What a shame it would be. But Lord, we know that you are good, that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So help us to go to proclaim your gospel. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.